This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we bring our series called Building Character to a close. In this final lesson, Rick takes one last in-depth look at why it's important for us to mature in our faith. He shows us how to continually grow and develop spiritually so that we can become more like Jesus. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help strengthen your prayer life. It's the redesigned Daily Hope Prayer Journal with all new art and graphics for 2020. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Building Character at Work.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says this, I think you ought to know about the hard times we went through in Asia. These are times he was overwhelmed. He said, we were really crushed and overwhelmed, and we fear we would never live through it. We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. He said, we are down, down, doobie-doo, down, down. We're powerless. We're overwhelmed. And he said, but even that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God alone, who alone could save us. And he did help us. Now listen very closely. When you're in a problem at work that is so overwhelming, you think, I'm going under with this. I'm not going to survive this. You do two things. First, like Paul, you turn the problem over to God through prayer. Say, God, like Paul says, I'm overwhelmed, I'm helpless, I'm confused, I feel like I'm not going to make it through. You cry out to God. You turn the problem over to God through prayer. That's the first thing you do. Now, the second thing you do is also in that passage, but you probably didn't notice it. Six times in that verse, it uses the word we. We. Circle the six times the word we. Uses the word us twice, uses the word we six times. You might circle those. Notice that when Paul was going through an overwhelming circumstance in his job, he was not alone. And this is the second key to handling stress at work. You need to be in a small group. You need to join a small group of friends who will study the Bible with you every week, who will pray for you with you and for you every week, and who can encourage you when you've had a tough day at work. The small group that I've been in now for probably 20 years now, every one of us have come to that small group at different times with our job, with our work, with the things that we were doing, and had to just unload them there, and in a safe spot, people could pray with us and for us. You need to do that. If you're not in a small group, one of the ways you're going to grow is get in a small group and be able to talk about the problems that you face at work, okay? God uses pressures at work to teach us responsibility, and God uses problems at work to teach us character. Let me give you a third one. God uses people at work to teach me how to really love, to teach me how to really love. Now, this is so important. Because one of the most important skills that you have to learn at work is how to get along with other people. And this is so important to your Christian faith. It's so important to your spiritual growth because life is all about learning how to love. Life is a laboratory for learning to love. This is the most important lesson in life, learning to love. Why? Because God is love. And he wants his children to be like him. And so he's saying the most important thing for you to learn in life is not some job skill. The most important thing for you to learn in life is how to love God and love other people. That's why God says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 4, do all your work in what? Love. Circle that. Do all your work in love. No matter what kind of work, whether you're an accountant or an astronaut or a driver, or a teacher, whatever you do, do all your work in love. If you're a gardener, you do your work in love. If you're a grocer, you do your work in love. Let me ask you a very personal question. Why do you do what you do? Well, some of you say, well, I just put food on the table. That's not a good enough reason. You're wasting your life if that's all you're doing, putting food on the table. Why do you do what you do? You could be using whatever job you have. It could be the most mindless or menial job, but you can use it to grow in character. Why do you do what you do? The highest motivation for any kind of work is love. And when you do anything in love, that pleases God. You can rake and please God. You can pick up garbage and please God. You can clean a hospital room or a hotel room and please God. Why? By doing it in love. You can do anything in love. You know, sometimes we do the right thing, but we do it for the wrong motivation. And God says, you don't even get any credit for that. God is more interested in why you do what you do than he is in actually what you do. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do all your work in love. And you can't do something in love unless somehow you're going to have to influence people. You know, people ask me all the time, Rick, how have you kept at the same work for 40 years? Well, the answer is simple. I do it out of love. I love God and I love people. Love is the ultimate motivation. Love is what keeps you going when you feel like giving up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, we remember before God how you put your faith into practice and how your love makes you work so hard. How your love makes your work so hard. Work motivated by love keeps you going. Now, do you agree that at work you have to deal with all kinds of strange people? Yeah. Don't raise your hands, but do you agree that some people are hard to love? Yeah. I wonder how many of you have to work with somebody you don't like. Don't point at them. Don't point at them. But you know what I'm talking about. You have to work with somebody you don't like. If you're going to grow up spiritually, it means you're going to have to learn to love those people. And if you're not becoming more and more loving, then you're not growing spiritually. You may think you are, but it's that simple. God wants you to grow in love. Now, I will confess to you as your pastor that by nature, in my human nature, I'm not a loving person. By the way, neither are you by nature. As humans by nature, we're pretty selfish people. We're pretty self-centered. And nobody's more self-centered than a baby. The baby says, feed me. Change me, meet my needs. The baby can only think of itself. That's immaturity, when you can only think of yourself. And unless somebody teaches you how to be loving, then we grow up selfish. Now, God has to teach us some lessons in loving. And one of the places he does this is at work. One of the places he wants to teach you genuine love is through your job. How does he do that? Well, you're not going to like this, but he does it by putting people around you who are the exact opposite of you. They're very different from you. God intentionally puts people around you who irritate you. I call them heavenly sandpaper. God puts people around you who intentionally rub you the wrong way, and they just get on your you know, irritation. Now, it's easy to love people who are lovely. But God wants to teach you how to love the unlovely. And so he puts some real jerks around you. He puts some really irritating people around you. He puts some people who see life exactly the opposite way as you do. And you know what? He does this intentionally in order to teach you love. It's easy to love people like you, but he wants you to learn to love people that you consider unlovable or unlovely, or unloving. Now, to get very practical, I've listed on your outline some very specific kinds of people that God wants you to learn how to love. So write these down. These are types of cranky coworkers. Types of cranky coworkers. Okay, write this down. First, demanding people. Demanding people. These are the little dictators in the office, the little Napoleons, and they're controlling and they're intimidating and they dominate everybody and they're oppressive and they could be rude and they make unrealistic demands. And God says, I want you to learn to love them, to return love, even when they're demanding. Here's another kind of people, dishonest people. These are the snake in the grass people. They don't have any integrity. They lie to you. They cheat. They tell you one thing and then they tell somebody else another thing. They promise you one thing and they deliver another. They stab you in the back. They can't be trusted. God wants you to learn to love dishonest people. How about disagreeable people? That's a third group. These are the chronic complainers at your work site. They're the people who are always negative, they're always grumpy, they're always grouchy, they're never satisfied, they're never content, they love to argue, they love to complain, they blow up without notice, and they're very, very negative. You know who I'm talking about. God wants you to learn to love them. Another group at work are defensive people. These are the touchy people. They are thin-skinned. They get hurt so easily. They get offended so easily. Everything you say, it's kind of like walking on eggshells around them. Because you worry that if you say the wrong thing, then they're going to get hurt. God wants you to love them. And then even demeaning people. Demeaning people. These are people in your office or at your work site who are always putting you down. They've got the comeback. They think they're so witty. They're so insecure that they have to attack other people or you continually. They're insulting. They're disrespectful. They treat you like dirt. They're critical of everything you do. These demeaning people. How does God want me to show love to demanding and demeaning and discouraging and all these different kinds of people I've just given you? Well, the Bible tells us. Romans 12, verse 18. It says this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Pastor Rick has developed a powerful way to re-energize your prayer life. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Writing down your prayer requests and noting how God has answered you is a spiritual habit that will deepen your prayer life. Your faith will be strengthened as you go back and review your prayers and reflect on how God has been working in your life. To keep it interesting for you, Daily Hope comes out with a new prayer journal every year that has a fresh look and feel. This year, the Daily Hope Prayer Journal is themed after Psalm 19:1, where the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." It has a soft, deep blue vegan leather cover and is packed full of scriptures and beautiful artwork that will help inspire you to journal and track your prayers. Pastor Rick asked us to send you a copy of this great resource as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of the Daily Hope Ministry. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, stop there for just a minute and look at that verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. God is realistically enough to realize there are some people you just can't live at peace with. No matter what you do, they're not going to live at peace with you. So he just says, as far as it depends on you, you make sure it's not your fault. You show love. You show grace. You show mercy. You show kindness. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, Try to live at peace with everyone. Some people you just can't live at peace with, but you do your best. Now, in Romans chapter 12, down in verse 16 to 18, it gives us a number of practical suggestions on how to do this, how to live at peace with other people. Here are the suggestions in Romans 12. Work happily together. Treat everyone with kindness. That means everybody. Don't become set in your own opinions. That causes a lot of rancor and conflict. Never pay back evil for evil. You want to be above people. You don't want to get even with them. If you get even with people, you're at the same level they are. You're no better than they are. You want to respond with forgiveness and love. Do all you can to live at peace with everyone. Now, let me summarize this. Whether God wants to teach me responsibility or character or love, it's going to be hard because I have to respond to people the way Jesus would. Why should I do that? Why should I make such an effort to become like Jesus on my job? Well, let me give you two extremely important reasons as we close this down. The first thing is this. The Bible tells us that God is going to evaluate your work one day. Your job, your work, your career. God is going to evaluate your work one day. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this. One day, the quality of each person's work will be clearly seen when the day of Christ inspects it. In other words, everything I've done in my career and everything you've done in your career will be seen because Christ is going to expect it. He's talking about the day of judgment. On that day, everyone's work will be tested by fire to show the character and quality of what each of us has done. Notice God says, you may think nobody's watching, and there may be nobody watching, but I'm watching, and one day everybody is going to have revealed the character and quality of their work. That's a reason to always do your best at work. There's another reason, and it's this. God is going to give eternal rewards for whatever is done in love. God is going to give eternal rewards for whatever is done in love. Hebrews 6:10 says this. God is always fair. He will not forget how hard you have worked and the love that you have demonstrated for his name. You need to remember that verse on Monday morning. God is not going to forget how hard you work, you know, giving it your best shot, and the love that you show for his name. This is the reason why God says your work matters to him. Because one of the four purposes of life is becoming like Christ, and God says you're going to learn responsibility, you're going to develop character, and you're going to show love. You're going to grow in love in working with other people in the marketplace. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this has been a very practical message because we all have to work at different seasons in our lives. And a lot of times we feel like it's worthless or fruitless or it's just putting money on the table or bread on the table. And yet we know that you want to use even our work to help us grow in character. Help us to realize that all work matters to you. And that you want to help us to learn responsibility. And you want to help us to grow in character. And you want to help us to learn to really love. Now you pray. Say, Lord, in your mind, just say this. Say, Jesus, I want to learn to be more responsible by keeping my promises, by meeting deadlines, by keeping my word, and by doing all of the things that show responsibility. And Lord, I personally want to grow in character and use even the problems in my life and in my job to help me to be more patient, to be more trusting, to be more joyful, to rely on you, to show self-control and all of the fruit of the Spirit. Finally, Jesus, I want you to use my job to teach me how to really love people. I want to be known as a great loving person. And I ask you to love people through me, even the people that I find difficult to love. If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and fill me with your love. Remove the fear and remove the regrets and remove the shame and remove the insecurities and fill me, Jesus Christ, with your spirit of love. I want to follow you the rest of my life and I want to trust you with my life. And I humbly ask this in your name, I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Pastor Rick has a powerful way to re-energize your prayer life. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Do you ever feel like your prayers get stuck in a rut? Would you like to know what God told me to do when my prayer life got stuck in a rut? It was a time when I just felt like I was praying the same thing over and over and over. In fact, I was beginning to wonder if God was even answering my prayers or even listening. Maybe you felt that way sometimes, or maybe you feel that way right now. So what did God tell me to do? Well, here's what he told me. It was such a powerful way to re-energize my prayer life, and it was so simple that I want to pass it on to you. God told me to do this. He said, Rick, start writing down what you're saying to me, and then I want you to write down what I say to you. Write down what you say to me, and then write down what I say to you. You see, it's really not that complicated. God just said I should start by writing down what I'm feeling, and then I should write down what he tells me after I've read his word. It's really just a form of journaling. And spiritual journaling is a spiritual habit that will help your prayers stay fresh and effective. If you've never tried it, I'm begging you, try this for a week or two and see if it doesn't reinvigorate your prayer life. Journaling has many, many benefits to your spiritual life. It'll help you stay consistent in your prayers. It'll give you a permanent reminder of how God answers your prayers because you've written them down. It shows how God is working in your life. You can go back and review it. It'll even help you worship God more and more as you speak to him. God speaks to people who care enough to write it down. So write down what God tells you, but you've got to have a place to do that. Now, I want to encourage you, and I want to help you take this simple step of learning this new spiritual habit in your prayers, of writing down your prayers and writing down your prayer requests. So what I did is I had my Daily Hope team create a brand new spiritual prayer journal. It's got a real simple to follow format that'll help you put into practice God's wisdom that is found in Philippians 4:6. That says this: don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Those four things are part of the format of our prayer journal for this year. It's really cool. You're going to love this tool.
Today is the last day to get this study tool, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.